Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. The Russian economy under severe sanctions since the invasion of Ukraine, the war in its second year. The Russian economy, a large question mark. However, the headline from Petersburg, Associated Press, Putin touts Russian economy as Western investors steer clear of St. Petersburg event. This is the St. Petersburg International Economic Forum. It is held every year, attracting around the world investment opportunities in Russia until February of 2022. To help me interpret this disappointment and what we can make of the Russian economy, I welcome Michael Bernstam of the Hoover Institution, who's been my guide on the Russian economy. Michael, a very good evening to you. Apparently, Mr. Putin went through with his speech saying things are fine. Things are not fine. My evidence is that no one of major significance, investor class or leaders of nations, turned up at the St. Petersburg Forum. What is it that keeps people away, Michael? Is it the sanctions? Is it that they do not trust Russians in fair trade? Why did they stay away as if there was an epidemic in Petersburg? Good evening to you.
Good evening to you. And the answer is very simple, one word answer, stigma. This event is now stigmatized, and no respectful world leader would go there. There were two major world leaders there, but they were just visiting, and they were in Moscow for their own negotiations for several days, went for half a day to St. Petersburg. One was the president of Algeria, and another was the prime minister of United Arab Emirates. They just had their own deals signed in Moscow. The interesting thing is that from the neighboring states, which are part of the Russian sphere of influence and the commonwealths that Russia runs, Kazakhstan, Belarus, and others, no one came. So it's just here that Russia is a pariah in this situation.
Mr. Putin gave a speech at the end of the Petersburg Forum in which he said that things could be better, but things are good. He said the public finances were generally balanced, putting the $42 billion budget deficit so far this year down to bringing forward some planned expenditures. I'm lost here. What is he talking about? He's lost a source of revenue that is world-class and it's not coming back. What does he mean, generally balanced?
Look, this was a very bad timing, and no one caught him on this because the same very day when he made all the statements, his own statistical agency published the data on the results of the first quarter of 2023. So, GDP, gross domestic product, the broad measure of the economy, is down 1.8%. So on the average to the 2021, if you take each quarter of 2022 and 2023, it's about 2% down. And on the fourth quarter, if you compare the first quarter of 2023 with the last quarter of 2022, it is 14% down. Gas production, natural gas production is 14% down. Oil production is considered to, projected to be 7% down this year. OPEC projected it. But his own statistical agency says close to 2% contraction in the first quarter 2023. No improvement. And mining is down 5%. Construction is up. Manufacturing is flat. Services are flat, and generally the economy is suffering from a prolonged contraction. So it was a very bad timing to report this rosy scenario when his own statistical agency shows that for trade, consumer goods, trade is down 10%. So generally the economy is a continuous contraction.
The projections are that the economy will shrink again this year. The numbers are not trusted by those writing up this report because it's a projection. What we don't know is about the price of energy because that is determinative for what revenue Russia brings in. However, Michael, does it complicate things for the Kremlin's calculations that they're now willing to be paid in renminbi, in Chinese currency, and perhaps other local currencies no longer demanding dollar? Does that mean that they're more vulnerable, not less vulnerable?
Oh, they are more vulnerable because their external debt is not to China. Their external debt is to Western European banks and to American banks, Canadian and Japanese banks, mostly Western European. And those they have to pay in euro or in dollars. They have euro bonds. Euro bonds are denominated in dollars. But with China, they are clever. And the Chinese, they have 70% of their total trade, which is about $200 billion a year. They have 70% in bilateral currencies. So the Russians pay in renminbi for the Chinese. The Chinese pay by rubles selling renminbi, and so they kind of balance it. But 30% of the total trade they demand, then the Chinese pay in dollars. They earn some renminbi from Pakistan and a few other countries, Bangladesh, who are paying in renminbi. But generally, they need renminbi only to balance their accounts with China. That's it, nothing else. Nothing on the world market. They need dollars and they need euros, and that's their problem. And the new package of the European sanctions now cuts off the residual oil pipelines to Slovakia, Czechia, Hungary, and this means they will earn even fewer euros.
There is a story that puzzled me. Havana, Cuba, AP. Cuba said it is reaffirming its alliance with Russia through a series of agreements considered key for the island nation, including the supply of oil, the sale of wheat, and the resumption of flights. Is Russia doing Cuba a favor? This looks like a barter system. They're going to give oil and wheat, and Cuba's going to... I don't understand this deal. Is this so small we shouldn't attend to it, or is it a significant break for Russia?
No, it's significant for Cuba. It's not significant for Russia. With Cuba, there was a barter deal going on between the Soviet Union and then with Russia, with Cuba for since the communists came to power, because the Russians are buying the cane sugar. It's a barter, kind of barter deal, although on the accounts it shows like a monetary exchange. And the Russians are supplying subsidized oil to Cuba at discount, and they're buying cane sugar at premium. Now the Russia is doing this for another reason. That is, they used to purchase beet-made sugar from Ukraine, and now, of course, that trade is dead. So they need sugar, and they buy it from Cuba, the cane sugar. So it's a good deal for Cuba, and for Russia, they just it's a small matter.
Michael Bernstam is at the Hoover Institution helping me understand the Russian economy in these contradictory statements that come out of Moscow in this, the second year of war. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.